Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 27th day of September, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is More Chaos, Stay Strong. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru am byth. Callers will be welcome. However, once we do open up the phone lines, please remember to use proper language and also show courtesy to other callers. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces. We do have a daily mail page there where we try to keep it updated on a daily basis. We suggest you go there from time to time for news, as the algorithms are making it more difficult to get email out, especially bulk email. And many of the websites where some of you folks have, like Gmail and a few others, I'm trying to think, I think Global, I can't remember the now, but there's a few different platforms of email that are applying algorithms, and if they detect certain content in the email, they'll block it at your end. So even though you personally have not put my email down as spam or blocked it, the server that your email program is using is blocking it due to content, okay? So that's why I say, if you're not getting anything for a while, go check the website out, because everything I send out by email will be on the Daily Mail page. We have a quote. I'm going to go ahead and read it again before I read the verse for today, because this strikes at the very heart of why we have the chaos we have today, and why the message is, not only do we have more chaos, but we are commanded to stay strong, to show faith. Because Scripture also tells us that everything works to the good for those the Father loves and are called according to His purpose. So it's a double conditional statement. Not only does He have to love you, but you have to be called according to His purpose. And when you're in His will and purpose, everything works to your good. And having lived upon this world for almost 70 years now, I can tell you, looking back, that that's a factual statement. Even stuff that hurt like hell when I was in the middle of the storm, were there things that came out of it that were good? Yeah, actually there were. Did I enjoy the experience? No, I can't say that I did. Just as the followers of Yahweh today that I talk to on a daily basis for many hours, nobody is enjoying what we're watching. That's a fact. You'd have to be a complete immoral, insensitive individual to enjoy what we're watching. This is painful. But then again, that's why He told us ahead of time. These would be the great shaking in the heavens and the earth, is what the Scripture says. And in the Greek language, if you do the word study, you will find that that great shaking is not talking about earthquakes, tsunamis, and things such as that. They can be part of it, but that's not what those Greek words are talking about. They're talking about what you're seeing happen in the world right now. Chaos. Why? Because the world order is upside down. Okay? That's why it's upside down. So let me read this quote. This is Henry David Thoreau. There are 1,000, and he's talking about people, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil. Now he's talking about the tree of evil, much as Genesis is talking about. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. Now, those who know this message called identity strike at the root. Why is that? Because we understand Genesis 3:15 better than the church world does. The mainstream church world, by the way, is not our friend. The mainstream church world has joined the clergy response team, CRT. And if you look at that playbook that just came out for the, it's on the CDC website. I sent copies out to as many people as I have on my email address. I will probably put a copy of it and link it on my website as well, because this is important. It's their playbook. They've actually published this thing. And as you read down through it, if you have discernment, you will see that the clergy has bought into this fake New World Order pandemic to enslave mankind. The clergy, the mainstream clergy, have been, how should we say this? They've been drummed into the service through bribery, flattery, or coercion. The bulk of the clergy, the false teachers, the betrayers of their congregations, have bought into the clergy response team. As the Daytona Jim just put out a video, and I'm going to try to get him on as a guest. He just put out the video that he believes that many people will receive their vaccinations at these whitewashed sepulchers called churches. That the deceived sheep under the leadership of these false prophets and false guides will actually take this poison in the sanctuary of the church. The problem is that today's preachers don't worship the God of the Bible. They don't teach the words and the plan of the Elohim God of the Bible. In fact, I dare say you won't find a shred of truth in the walls of these whitewashed sepulchres, whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. You won't see it. So Henry David Thoreau has the game plan for our side. Okay, now we know what the New World Order is up to. We've got tons of people talking about it. It's all lies. Everything is lies. We don't have any advocates in government. Here in Florida, Rick DeSantis said he rescinded his orders against the businesses, et cetera, in the lockdown for this fake pandemic, as if he had the right to do anything about it to begin with. He didn't. Neither do your mayors, your city councilmen, your county councils, etc. They don't have the authority to lock you down over a fake pandemic. They, even if it was a real pandemic, they wouldn't have that authority. Okay? Your health is your business. You know, this all got started back with Obama. Remember, everybody got arguing about Obamacare, but the main argument should have been, what the hell is the government doing in my health care to begin with? Obamacare was how they trapped you into it. They didn't care whether you supported it or not. The idea was you were so angry about Obamacare and the fact that that little traitor was doing what he was doing, you missed the whole point. The whole point is the government has no authority in your health care or your family's health care. You've given it to them. And so we suffer because we're hacking at the branches, meaning the thousands of programs these wicked, evil people do amongst us, we're whacking at the branches while the root is deep and strong and well-watered with digital shekels to accomplish this. We're now finding out it's been proven what we postulated a long time ago. Follow the money. If you follow the money, you'll find out that the corporate world and the medical mafia, as well as your governments, local governments, are all accepting bribes to keep this nonsense going. So your central bankers and government are issuing electronic shekels to these traitors of mankind to keep this nonsense going. So once again, the love of money is what? The root of all evil. So there's part of the clue. He says to the one striking at the root, well, if you can't identify the root, and Scripture helps you do that when it says all evil. Okay? Yes. The love, the lusting for, the I will sell my soul for it, the I will turn in my neighbor for it, I will commit crimes, I will support lies and deception because I love, I worship money. That's people today. So everything that's happening, we know the evil behind it, what evil people are doing behind it. But I'm going to tell you something, as people remind me all the time, our Father is not a fool. If you think he's sitting on that throne and doesn't see what's going on, you're crazy. And as the Scripture says, all things work to the good for those that love the Father and are called according to his purpose. Last time I checked, that's you and me, folks. Called according to his purposes. We are his battle axe and weapons of war. We are his administrators. Everything that's going on right now, isn't it helping you and I identify who our friends are? I'm talking about real friends. Isn't it helping identify those with faith, real faith, versus the lip service, the lukewarm amongst the called out ones? Yeah, I now have a very clear picture who in my family is going to make it into the kingdom. I have a very clear picture as to who in my neighborhood may or may not make it into the kingdom. I know who in my neighborhood to trust with my life. I know in my neighborhood who will stand with me when the mob tries to invade our neighborhood. Okay? So, is there good coming out of all this stuff that we're seeing? If you look hard enough, yeah, there is. Psalm 91 tells us that though we see a thousand fall at our left side, which is our weak side, that's where you carry your shield, for us right-handed warriors, okay? 1,000 at your left side, which is not your strong side, and 10,000 at your right hand. Now, why is it saying that? Because on your left side, your weak side, you're going to be seeing those that fall probably due to vaccines, illness, violence. But on the right side, where you carry your sword, you're going to strike down the enemy. So there'll be a 10-to-1 ratio between those on the left side versus the ones on your strong side where you carry your sword. That sword might take the form of truth-telling at this time, but there is a time when your hands will grip the hilt of a real sword and you will cut the enemy down where they stand. Why do I say that? Because it's logical. You can see it coming. It also fits with Scripture, if you read it in the original languages. The blood flowing in the valley of Armageddon, during Armageddon, the valley of Megiddo, whether it's real or symbolic, the symbolism is that there's a lot of people going to die. By whatever means. It's not specific. It just says that the blood of the victims of this great battle will fill a valley up to a horse's bridle. Now, a horse's bridle, depending on the breed of horse, but back in biblical times, I would say the bridle on a horse would be approximately 5 feet. So that's a lot of blood. Considering the average person has, what is it, six pints of blood in their whole system. Okay, so you're going to have a lot of blood. That means a lot of death, a lot of destruction. What's going to happen as the New World Order pushes this whole takeover vaccination scam? There'll be a lot of sick people. There's already a lot of sick people. First of all, people are at each other's throats. The folks with the diapers on their face think we're a problem, and we obviously know that they're complete morons. Okay, and I'm sorry if I'm stepping on toes, but folks, if you don't know that that face covering is about as helpful to you or the other people as a chain link fence being put up to stop mosquitoes. In other words, it's completely ineffective, okay? That face covering is doing nothing to protect anybody. All it's doing is separating you and I. It is causing us to become alienated. It is causing us not to be able to see the smiles and the expressions on other people's faces. It's basically dehumanizing us, which is exactly what the end game with this vaccine will do. The face covering is symbolic. It's showing acquiescence to a false god. Okay? This beast system. It shows that, but it's also separating us from each other. So it's symbolic now, but once they inject you with this serum, this concoction, you will literally then be alienated. You will no longer belong to the family of man. It's really that serious, folks. And you cannot believe anybody telling you anything different, because look at the signs of the times. If this was a real pandemic, you would never have handled it the way it's been handled, okay? So it's obvious it's not real. It's ludicrous, in fact. Only the weakest minds imaginable would buy into this bullshit. I mean, it's staggering to think in a day and age with so much information and so-called education that people are this freaking stupid and have so little faith. Very little faith. And they're afraid of what? Getting sick? People get sick all the time. Well, Dan, there's people dying. Yeah, there's people dying every day. Have you ever looked at the stats? I guess people that don't ever pay attention to what the hell's going on are easily falling for this nonsense. But for those of us who've been in the truth-telling community for decades, we keep up on stats. Iatrogenic death, which means death by medicine or doctors. Iatrogenic, you can look it up. Iatrogenic death is the third leading cause of death in the world. Folks, the very medical profession claiming to care about you, claiming to have your solution in a vaccine, is the third leading cause of death. Let that sink into your brain. This so-called virus, even though the virus is only a remnant, basically what scientists call cell poop, is nothing. Okay? What's causing your illnesses are the things that have always caused illnesses, dis-ease from within your body. It has almost nothing to do with what's external to your body. We live in a sea of germs, bacteria, and other debris. We live in a sea of it every single day of our lives. There is nothing on this earth that can remove these contagions. They exist. They're part of the world that we live in. And yet our Father Creator gave us a defense mechanism called an immune system that is so proficient and so adaptable, it keeps up with this ever-changing sea of germs and bacteria and microbes, constantly keeping up with it, constantly making new antibodies, constantly upgrading the intelligence banks of your brain and your immune system. But you notice modern medicine loves to handicap you, because when I was a boy, all kinds of people were getting their tonsils out as if it was nothing. Praise Yahweh, I have my tonsils. I have my appendix. I have my lymph nodes. Why? Why, Dan? Why are you concerned about useless pieces of flesh in your body? Because my father was looking out for me, and I came to find out through my classes in natural health that that your tonsils and your appendix are incredibly important pieces of your immune system. Now, who benefits, cui bono, from you taking your tonsils or appendix out? Who benefits from that? Who benefits from telling you that, oh, don't worry about it, we're going to be preventative here, your appendix looks a little swollen, or your tonsils, we'll just cut them out? Who benefits from that? Does the Genesis 3:15 Antichrist serpent seed benefit from you being handicapped, your immune system being weakened by removal of two of the most important pieces of that lymphatic system, because they are part of the feedback system, part of the regulatory system of your immune system, your tonsils and your appendix? Now, does it mean that you're going to die because they are taken out? No. But if somebody comes up with a hacksaw and says, we're going to be preventative because one day you're going to get gangrene in that left arm of yours, so we're going to cut your left arm off, would you die from that? No. But is your life greatly affected by it not being there? Yeah, it sure as hell is. It sure as hell is. So here again, we fell for the lie. We trusted the false prophets and the false gods of this world, the medical mafia, the government mafia, the entertainment mafia, the educational mafia. They're all organized crime, folks. If you can't see that today, you're blind as a bat. I'm sorry, but you are. You are as blind as a bat. Headlines with a Voice, Nancy Morgan Hart just put out one today called Demons Among Us. And she's talking about this playbook that you can find on the CDC site that talks about how they plan on implementing this Mark of the Beast, this system to enslave you for the rest of your existence, contaminating you to the point of not being able to be uncontaminated. Now, a lot of people say, well, if Yahweh loves us, he can clean me. You know, if I fall victim to this, he can clean me. Well, it's true. Father Yahweh can do anything he wants. But at the same time, he also told us to be what? Believers and have faith. He also told us to be his warriors, his battle axe and weapons of war, as in Jeremiah. He also told us in the Psalms that it's our honor as saints to go after the wicked and put them to the sword. It was our honor to take these misfits in government and tie them with fetters of iron. That means shackles, by the way, folks. Back in the day of the Bible, it was chains that were cemented into a wall, and you put shackles on the wrists of the prisoner. Fetters, they called them fetters of iron. Restraints. Instead, we see pregnant women being hauled off by these uniformed pieces of shit that call themselves cops today that are assisting the New World Order, leading off innocent men from a town meeting because they don't put a diaper on their face. These are not police officers or peace officers. These are traitors. They are pieces of shit. Anybody who assists the New World Order and these creatures and what they're doing no longer has your loyalty, no longer has your back, no longer fulfilling their oath of office. They are, in fact, traitors. They are, in fact, your enemy. You have been conditioned to see a uniform and a badge and automatically think with respect and I must obey. Really? So if they came down the street with green uniforms on, with a green cap, with a big red star in the middle, what would you do then? Okay, you're suckered into thinking they're good guys because the uniform is gray or blue and they've got a star on there. You think they're your guys. But you're watching them drag completely innocent men, women, and sometimes even children off of planes or out of airports or out of grocery stores and threatening to put them in jail and sometimes putting them in jail. Their uniform, in your mind, you should look at them as wearing the green, the communist green uniform with a big red star on the collar and a big red star on the cap, just like Mao Zedong's Bolshevik communists that murdered millions and millions of Chinese. That's what they are. Don't let the gray and the blue uniform fool you. If they're acting like a communist, if they talk like a communist, if they walk like a communist and they dress like a communist, then they're a communist. You don't owe any allegiance to anybody in a uniform that's performing for the communists. You don't. In fact, it's just the opposite. If they are acting upon the orders of the communists in a uniform that is supposed to be trusted, they are acting under the color of law and are spies. They're no different than a spy who pretends to be one of you but is working for your death and the destruction of your republic. Don't let uniforms fool you. Whether we're talking military or police or even sheriff's department, don't let uniforms fool you. Not at this time, folks. We're in a time of history we have never been in before. Why? Because it's not only happening here in the United States, it's happening worldwide. And worldwide, men and women in uniform are performing acts of treason against we the people. In the Bible, it says, who are we to, what did the Apostle Peter say? Oh, that's right. When there's a question of who to obey, we are to obey our living God, Father, Creator, and not men. Man-made law does not override Yahweh's law. Even William Blackstone, considered one of the greatest jurists of all time, said any law made by men that is counter to God's law is no law at all. It has no weight. It has no function. So when a bunch of Jews get together in Washington and they put some goyim faces to it and they say it's okay to murder a child, why in the hell are we obeying that? Why in the hell do you have pastors and people who call themselves believers allowing that to happen in their land? Leviticus and Deuteronomy make it very clear that your land is cursed. Cursed. As long as that innocent blood has not been avenged. That the perpetrators of this abortion industry have not been rounded up and executed. And I'm making that statement very, very plain, folks. A lot of people say, well, you got to tiptoe around the issues. Really? In this day and age, with all the chaos and the madness we see going on, and you're still thinking we should worry about political correctness? I got news for you. I don't give a damn about political correctness. Anybody that knows me knows I don't give a damn about it, because I never have. The truth is the truth, and it's only the truth that matters. Okay? The point of it is, we have proven to our Father that we are believers in name only. We are followers of the living God in name only. We are the lukewarm today. The church, the believers, are the lukewarm today that he often talked about vomiting out of his mouth. Why? Because of our hypocrisy. It's a stench. The scriptures refer to it as a stench. That is a odoriferous scent that has gone into the nostrils of our Creator Father. Can you just picture that? Okay? A righteous king sitting upon his throne, watching what's going on, and up comes this whiff from down here on earth up to his throne. And it's a stench. It smells like a rotting corpse out in the field. You guys that have been hunters or lived on a farm, you know what it's like if you come across a dead animal. I've done it many times. I'm going to tell you something. That's a stench that you never forget. Can you imagine fields full of dead, rotting corpses? What that must smell like. I've come across rabbits and possums and raccoons, sometimes cats or dogs, dead in the fields. Just one. And you can smell it a long ways off, the stench. This is what our activity down on earth is doing to our Father in heaven. It's a stench in his nostrils. It's offensive that we sit here on our asses while the Antichrist forces reign over us with more and more stupidity, more and more immoral behavior. And we still sit here like we're trapped because of our fear. Our fear. I like the quote that I've read many times. Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear, ladies and gentlemen. Not on this side of fear, where you're sitting in your basements or in your homes afraid to go out because of a fake pandemic, or because your neighbors might call you names, okay? Fear drives us today. Everything we want, which is peace, prosperity, a pristine world, coming back to clean water, clean food, and governance by righteous men. Everything that we speak of is on the other side of fear. And remember, fear is an acronym meaning false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real, as in almost everything on the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC website, or the World Health Organization. Again, clever little names, but their actual activities are just the opposite. Much like the, 1984 Federal Income Tax Reform Bill, I believe it was called. Did it reform it? Hell no, it didn't. Just like the Federal Reserve Act. Is it federal and a reserve? Hell no, it's a private banking takeover of our money system. We've also read the quote here many times. It says, he who controls your money controls your government. Nathan Rothschild, the Jew, said many years ago, I care not who makes your laws as long as I control the issuance of credit and money. I control what's going on. It's in front of your face, folks. This isn't rocket science. This is basic 101 governance, basic 101 historical biblical truth. You don't even need to know what people wrote 200 years ago or 2,000 years ago. It's in your face here, right now. Every single day that you read a newspaper, a magazine, or turn on that electronic toilet and listen to the trusted voices feeding your head and filling it with bullshit. Absolute lies and bullshit. The good news is that the side over here on the other side of fear is growing. I sent out a list of about 9 or 11 states that are filing lawsuits against their government. There was a prominent platform recently that said, in fact, he's a retired law enforcement officer who said, it's time to decommission our governors. Hallelujah. The sheep are waking up. Government is not our friend. Never has been. George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, all of them have quotes, if you care to look it up, talking about what a dangerous servant, as George Washington said. Government is a dangerous servant and a fearful master, just like fire. He made the analogy of government is like a fire. It's a dangerous servant. Fire can be a great servant. It can keep you warm, cook your food, give you light in the dark. But it is a fearful master. When it gets out of control, it turns around and becomes your worst nightmare. That's what governments are today. The Bible refers to them as beasts. Now, your modern-day preachers out there, they're going to give you some other spiritual connotation to it. It's not spiritual at all. It's physical. It says it wrote, governments like beasts roam the earth looking for new prey, new people to suppress, new people to lord over, new people to rape and rob, new people to force their edicts upon, new people to steal their life's earnings through taxation, more control through regulations. A beast. That's literal. That means something you can taste, touch, and feel. It's a beast system. When you drive down the road, who pulls you over if you're 5 miles over the limit? Some guy in a pretty uniform claiming to represent the beast. He's not there for your benefit. As in, it's been proven in Portland and all these cities, and it's what my grandfather told me many years ago. Don't ever mistake police officers as being your friends. Don't ever mistake the fact that they're here not for you, but to maintain the status quo. They are the private army of the local mayors and governors and county commissioners. They're their private army. Who did they obey? Did they stop the rioters? If they worked for us and were loyal to us, they would have stopped the rioters. They would have told the mayors to kiss their ass. Instead, what did they do? Stand down. Stand down and let innocent people be hurt, sometimes killed. Buildings set on fire, bombs exploded. So they have proven who their loyalty is. Why the hell don't you wake up? And I don't want to blow my own horn, but my oldest son was going to go to college to be a police officer. This is a long time ago. I said, son, please don't do that. Why, Dad? I think I could do a good job. I said, I know you could do a good job. I said, but the day's coming when police officers will be hunted down because they have turned their backs on we the people. They have turned their backs on their oath of office. And when history has shown that when a population realizes the people that they should have been able to trust have actually worked to their detriment, they get angry. And they take that anger out on the uniform. They don't stop and ask, were you the 1 out of 100 that was honest and true? No, they're not going to do that, son. They're going to beat you to death, just like they did in Mexico not long ago to police officers that they found out along a road, and they found a judge on the steps of the courthouse, chopped to pieces by machetes. You see, the mainstream doesn't talk about that because they want you to think everybody has this absolute fear of authority. They don't want you to know that man will rise up at some point and say enough is enough, just like they did down in Mexico with those police officers and that judge. And they took them out. They executed them because they're corrupt. I had a friend of mine from New York City. He said, Dan, you don't ever read about it, but every now and then they find a police officer in an alleyway dead because the people rose up because he was corrupt. He was part of an enforcement, or he was selling drugs, or he's trying to rape one of our daughters, and the men take him out. But you don't ever read about it because they don't want you to think cops are ever bad. I've had friends that were cops that told me some of the things that happened when they were in the police departments. Not a pretty sight, folks. But here again, what you perceive and what is real is often two different things, folks. You got to stop letting the image of the beast create these false images in your head. Just because you see that uniform, you think somehow you have to give it obedience, that you have to do whatever they say. And they pump up these assholes in uniform as if they're walking gods because they have a uniform and a gun. And these retards actually believe it. When the Supreme Court of the United States, which is an appellate court, it is not a criminal court, the Supreme Court has upheld the fact that when police operate outside the bounds of the Constitution, they operate on their own. So this is not new stuff, folks. You can find Supreme Court rulings that said a man or woman in uniform operating outside the bounds of their oath of office is operating on their own. In fact, it's even worse than that. They're operating under the color of law, which means they are the equivalent of a spy. They are the equivalent of the thief that comes to your door dressed as a cop with the intention of stealing, killing, or raping you. They are no longer your public servants. They have become criminal elements. You got to get over this worshiping a uniform, worshiping an office such as president, vice president, congressman, senator. Those are just offices. We don't owe respect to the office when there's a criminal in the office. Why do we have the world we have today? Because we no longer respect truth and honesty. We're no longer willing to fight. Now, part of the reason I think Florida has backed off on some of the restrictions is because they can tell. They read your email. They listen to your phone calls. They're collecting this data. Go look up anything written or done in interviews with Cliff High, H-I-G-H. Cliff High is one of the guys who helped develop the software that mines the data that they're capturing to pull out through algorithms to pull out the information to determine what's going to happen. He talks about it openly. They've had this for a long time. They're monitoring and gathering all your data to put them into these computer programs to figure this stuff out. In the movie V for Vendetta, they alluded to this. In that movie, they called it, instead of internet, they called it the interlink. Do you remember that scene in the movie? Well, there's been a 20% increase in negative response. Okay, that's the movie world throwing it in your face, folks. They know the level of anger and the fact that our people are almost at the point of pulling their weapons down off the wall and starting to take out some of these sons of bitches. Remember, our founding fathers said it, when the government fears the people, you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. They have spent a lot of time and money to get you to fear government offices as if they are above the law, and they are your masters, when Yahweh says just the opposite. These people are lower than whale dirt. They are scum. They form the kakistocracy that lords over us today. They are the worst elements of our society. They should not only not be listened to, they should be hunted down and put on trial by a citizen's grand jury. Nothing in this current criminal justice system that is both criminal and has no justice. I'm talking about the new system with the sheriffs, the real pastors, and the militia. There is your real solution. Taking these quacks and charlatans and putting them on trial in front of a citizens' tribunal, and then if they're found guilty of heinous crimes, executed. Do you want to see government turn around and become your servant again? Start executing the criminals. Start taking the communists out and hanging them in a tree with a great big red star around their necks. It's coming. It'll be here pretty soon. It's just the way it is, folks. People say, Dan, are you advocating this? I'm a typical Aryan warrior. I abhor violence. Trust me. Every man I know abhors violence. There's no way I want to bloody somebody's face or put a rope around them and hang them in a tree. But by God, if you push me to it by raping my daughter, stealing my family's inheritance, kicking us out of our homes, etc., etc., then you have asked for my anger and my vengeance. When I find out that you're trafficking children and sometimes consuming their flesh or their blood, you deserve to die. You deserve my wrath. And according to the scriptures, we're to show them no mercy. Okay? You want this world to change? It requires action. It requires taking those Second Amendment devices off the wall and be prepared to use them. You don't get results with talk. You don't get results even with protests. You get results when the enemy fears death. Because that's all these people live for, is to dominate you and to spend their ill-gotten gain that they have stolen from you. They don't believe in a hereafter. They don't believe in a God of the Bible. They believe they are gods unto themselves. They are antichrists. That's what you're up against, folks. And I'm glad to see that many of the men are finally starting to see the picture. All of this hopium is just that. It's hopium. This is a war, and there's only going to be one victor in this war. I vote for our side. I don't know about you folks, but I'm voting for our side. I like what General George S. Patton said. Our job is to make the other dumb bastard die for their cause. These communist, atheist, Bolshevik, Zionist, Jewish-funded, Jewish-led revolutionaries need to be rounded up and executed, every single one of them. When they riot in our cities, get every single one of them and line them up against the wall and shoot them. When they find out who was paying them $15 to $20 an hour to misbehave, go find those people and drag them out of their house and execute them. When you find out who paid for the buses that's taking them from city to city, go drag them out of their banks, go drag them out of their estates and execute them. Now, some people say, well, Dan, that sounds drastic. Well, yeah, I suppose it does. Drastic times call for drastic measures. That's what the communists like to say, isn't it? Use their own weapons against them. Okay, Mao Zedong says all political power comes out of what? The barrel of a rifle. Well, Mao Zedong, the Jewish paid, Jewish educated communist leader and traitor to the Chinese people, he should know. Just like Fidel Castro, the Jewish lawyer from New York. He understood that. As soon as he convinced the Cubans he was a conservative and they backed him and he came to power, they found out he was a liar and a cheat. Why? Because he's a Jew. His lips were moving. Of course he's lying. But Fidel Castro understood what his Jewish comrade in China said, and he made sure that terror was brought upon the Cuban people to keep them in line. You want to make Cubans happy? Let's go down to Cuba and kill every fucking communist. Excuse my French, but I'm that angry. I've said that for a decade. What the white race needs to do is take back our country and take an army and go into Cuba and kill every communist we find and give Cuba back to the Cuban people, the good ones, the righteous ones, and let them turn that island into a paradise once again. Okay? I'm here to talk about solutions. We've got enough people talking. We've got enough people begging our masters, fake masters, to please behave themselves. Masters, evil masters, do not behave because of pleas. They behave when there's threats. So when the men of Israel decide, and I'm talking Jacob Israel, the white race, when the sons of God are manifested, this world will change. But not until then. If you're looking to government to solve the problems that government created, you're an idiot. Why would they do that? Please explain it to me. Why would government solve the problems they created? Because the problems give them what they want, remember? Problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialectic, that's what they're playing on you. Go read your psychology books, folks. I've just downloaded some written by Sigmund Freud. They seem to be following that Jew to the letter. So why not read the textbook that the enemy wrote for you to see how the mind of a Jew works? You're being played, Edward Bernays, the other Jew, the father of modern propaganda. It wasn't Germans. It wasn't Aryan people that came up with this whole mind control and groupthink thing. It was Bernays and his cohorts, all Jews. And Bernays, if I remember right, is related to Freud, Sigmund Freud, the other kike with their so-called science of controlling and analyzing people's psychology. Yeah, but for good purposes or evil? Go read the books. Who would try to study on how to manipulate you for good? Okay? Why would anybody need to know how to manipulate you with words and images to get you to buy a product or buy an idea? Why would they do that? Why would honest people do that? Well, the answer, of course, is honest people would not do that. Okay? Honest people don't need to do that. Yahweh told us to be upfront and honest and open about all things. Just like in this program, 21 years, I've not pulled any punches on this show, ever. Ever. 21 years, most of the fellow broadcasters have been visited by the Secret Service or the FBI. Because that's one of the things people ask me. How many times have they come to see you? The answer, none. Well, that must mean you're one of them. Well, yeah, it could mean that. It could mean that. That's true. However, my response is I believe they don't come see me because what I'm saying is true. Because it's based on fact and biblical principles. That's why. And there are many men and women within these organizations that know damn well that what I'm saying is true. I've said for a long time that I wish they would come to see me. I want to tell them how contemptible they are. I want them to know how much contempt that I and people like me have for them being traitors to our republic, being traitors to their oath of office. Come talk to me about my program. I don't care. I already know where I'm headed when this world is over for me. I like to think I'm standing on the other side of fear. Now, does it mean that I'm arrogant enough to think that harm might not come to me? Well, of course harm might come to me. Do I find that a fearful thing? Well, I find it disconcerting, that's for sure. I have reasons that I'd like to stick around for a while, quite a few of them, as a matter of fact. However, they don't override my sense of duty to my race and to my Creator. Blood and soil is what the National Socialists used to talk about. Blood and soil, race and land. The land represents what? Health, food, shelter. Why do you think the enemy has used the governmental system to take possession of all the land? Can you go anywhere and put a stake in the ground and call it your home without some government agency claiming that they already own it? You see, governments are beasts, people. Yahweh put Adam kind here with free reign upon the land, dominion upon the land, and we've allowed a beast system to convince us that we need titles, we need deeds, we need their permission to own the land. We need their permission to use the water or the grass to feed our animals. We need their permission. You're a slave to the beast. The first step to removing yourself from slavery is a mental exercise. You have to overcome your fear. You have to overcome your brainwashing through the electronic toilets that are controlled by the beast, the images of the beast. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we hear these words, "But seek first Yahweh God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In other words, for you that are concerned about, well, how am I going to feed my family? How will I clothe my family? How will I protect my family? He tells you here in Matthew chapter 6, seek first Yahweh's kingdom and his righteousness, and then Yahweh, our Father, will see to your needs. And as we as individuals come together as a host, he will bless our whole nation, our race. But we got to come back together as a family first. We have lost that connection. Because I have cousins that speak Gaelic, or I have cousins that speak French, or Dutch, or German, or Portuguese, all of a sudden they're not my family. Oh yeah, they are. They might live in a different land and speak a different tongue, but it's still my family. And now with electronic translators, it's getting easier for us to communicate with each other. They've perfected them to the point where they're almost instantaneous. Very soon you're going to have a little box that you put an earpiece in and they put an earpiece in, and when he speaks his language, it'll come into your earpiece in English, and when you speak, it'll go into his earpiece in his language instantaneously. That's right around the corner. Now, the government already has that stuff, but they don't let you and I have it for many years afterwards. But they already have it. So we can communicate with each other. So seek first Yahweh's kingdom. Go do an etymological search of the word kingdom. It's two words, comes from Old English. Koinigdom in Old English, if I'm pronouncing it right, it basically was the Gaelic word for king. Kingdom, dominion. It's the short word of Latin dominion, domain. Kingdom. It is representative of a monarchy. How about that? Oh, Dan, monarchies are bad and evil. Oh, well, that's funny. Yahweh's kingdom, meaning a king will have dominion over the land and the people. Dominion. Dominion. Who has dominion today? Is it Yahweh or is it the Antichrist? Who has dominion within you, folks? This beastly government system or the living God that wants to see you healthy and happy and your children smiling and seeing sunshine come into their face and on their bodies, eating clean food, breathing clean air, drinking clean water, instead of the poisons that the beast system has created. Yahweh's kingdom, and his righteousness. That's what you're supposed to seek first thing in the morning when you get up and think about as you lay your head down on the pillow at night. Yahweh's kingdom, both literal and spiritual, and his righteousness. It doesn't say obeying man's law. When 2 Timothy talked about the lawlessness of the latter days, do you think it was talking about man's law? That there would be lawlessness, 2 Timothy chapter 3? Do you think that that is talking about man's law? I got news for you. That's not man's law he's talking about. Lawlessness means the Father's law. How many race mixers do you know? How many homosexuals do you know? How many transgenders do you know? How many people putting down Yahweh? How many atheists do you know? These are all transgressions of his law. People who worship a false god, an idol called government, those are not his people. They have not made him king of this dominion and his righteousness, the rules that we follow. You walk out into your community or your local shopping centers or discotheques, whatever you're going to, take a look around you as you do, and how many kingdom followers do you see? Take a look at how many people have dirty diapers on their face. Do you think they're going to come into the kingdom? I'm asking you a good question. How many dirty diapers are going to come into the kingdom? Let me give you a clue. The answer is zero. Because they have no faith, they have no common sense, and they have no backbone. I had an argument with a very, very good friend of mine. And, well, it wasn't so much an argument, but I lost my temper a little bit. I said, I'm sick and tired of these pansy men. Men, 6'2", 6'3", 230 pounds, muscular, with dirty diapers on their faces. What a disgusting thing to see. Men who could break somebody in half going up to the doors of Walmart and let some little female demand that they put a dirty diaper on their face, and they just do it. No argument, no pushback. Even though every one of these orders put out by these quacks and charlatans pretending to be our public servants, every one of these bastards put exemptions in their orders. It's much like the book talks about Lot when he talked about Satan. And Satan had an argument with Yahweh saying, I can't physically harm them. Yahweh said, you can't do it. You can deceive them, but you can't harm them. You have to get them to go along with it. And it's much exactly what has happened with these so-called face covering orders. Every one of them, Satan's kids, left outs, but our people are so weak and timid today, they don't even take advantage of it. They don't push back at all, ever. Well, Dan, it's just easier to go along, you know. I don't want to be called a name. I don't want everybody to look at me. I don't want them to come up and surround me and intimidate me. Oh, Dan, you're asking such a hard thing. Really? Let me ask you something. When they come to your door and there's two GIs out there in their communist uniform, and there's a communist holding a syringe or several of them, and they come to your door demanding to plunge that needle into you and your family's arms, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do then when you won't even stand up to some little piece of shit at the front doors of Lowe's or Publix or Walmart and contest the wearing of a dirty, useless diaper on your face? You won't even contend with that, but you're going to stand there and demand that they don't put the poison in your body? Are you kidding me? You'll probably walk out the door rolling up your sleeve. Oh, please, please inject me. I don't want to get harmed. I don't want you to take me out of my house. I don't want you to take my car. I don't want you to call me a bad name. I don't want to look bad in front of my neighbors. Please stick the needle in my arm. That's what most of you are going to do. I already know that. If you can't contest something obviously wrong, obviously harmful to you and the other people, obviously an affront to your rights as a God-given person upon the land and under the Constitution, if you won't contest that, you're going to tell me you're not going to allow them to plunge that needle in your arm? That finally you're going to have a line in the sand where you'll stand up and take that rifle and use it for what it was for? Is that what you want me to believe? I have serious doubts. I have very serious doubts. That most of the people that like to tell me, oh, no, that'll be my line in the sand. Really? Really? Well, I've got news for you. None of us know what we'll do when that day comes. None of us. You can think about it all you want. You can pretend that you're going to do something about it. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee you won't cave. There's no guarantee that you won't submit. Because until the day of testing, you don't know. Because most of you have failed the test already. Most of the friends, or at least I thought were my friends, failed the test already. They're either cowards or imbeciles. Neither one is a good thing. As Gideon weeded those two characters out of his army, I want a Gideon army around me. Gideon got rid of the fearful and the imbeciles, the low IQ morons. So we only had one survive out of 100. One out of 100. That's the only two tests he had. This fake pandemic is providing the exact same thing that Gideon faced. We have overwhelming odds before us, men. They've got the money, they got the advertising, they've got the weak amongst us, the cowards, the conformists, the complacent. They've got them all in their camp. You and I stand against that, just like Gideon and his men. But you know what we have to do? We have to vet from amongst our friends and our military comrades the weak, the mentally weak, and the fearful, or the cowards. You can't win with those guys because they'll plunge the needle in their arms themselves. In fact, they'll beg to have it done. You can see it happening right now. I just want everything to go back to normal. That's exactly what your masters, the Jew, the communist Jews behind all this, that's exactly what they want you to do, sheep. You're being herded just like cattle into a pen. They've made everything so rotten, so nasty, that you'll beg, please, just like Henry Kissinger said back in 1991. You'll beg for world government. You'll beg for world everything. You'll beg for the vaccine. Just give me normalcy, please. I want to go shopping. I want to buy some lipstick. I want to go get a meal down at the bar and suck down my alcohol. I want to buy a good pack of cigarettes. Please, whatever it takes. You can see it. It's happening right in front of our eyes. It's disgusting. People have no backbone left. They're spineless jellyfish today. The vast majority. Spineless jellyfish. But seek first Yahweh's kingdom and his righteousness. Not or. It says and then he will bless you with the objects of your heart's desire. People, you got it always wrong. You think Yahweh's a genie in a bottle. All I got to do is get on my knees and I'm going to pray tonight and rub that bottle so that Yahweh gives me what I want. That's the modern day church world. He's just a genie in a bottle. I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is pray and say that I believe and Yahweh's going to bless me. Really? Let me know how that works out for you, will you? Because I'm not seeing it. I know lots of people that walk with Yahweh every single day of their life, and right now they're not doing too well. They're doing well spiritually and in fellowship with like believers, but in this world, by its standards, meaning material wealth, most of them are struggling. Most of them are struggling. Because this world is not going to reward true believers. Very rarely does it reward true believers. This world hates those who tell the truth. Just look at what happens when you tell the truth about the government or the Constitution or the fact that this is a fake pandemic. Do people run out and cheer you on? Do they offer to, you know, help you out? Not very many. Not very many. A handful at best. When Yahweh said it would be as in the days of Noah, he wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding. There's only a handful, folks, that's going to be on the arks. A handful. Most of these people are not going to be around much longer. They are going to remove their humanity by their compliance with these draconian orders. And again, they're going to do it voluntarily. I don't believe they're going to try to force it because then it would open too many eyes. At some point they might do that, but in the beginning, they know the vast majority of this herd of cattle are going to voluntarily do it without much effort at all. They're just going to put out the advertising. Oh, we have the vaccine. And they'll have the trusted voices like in Washington and on your network, Image of the Beast networks, the trusted voices saying how good it is. And a lot of these sheep are going to run out and get it. So why would they go and take a chance on waking us up and taking up arms when they can get the vast majority of these simpletons to just simply do it? They'll do that first. It'll be in order. Once they've been properly secured, now the more draconian and forceful enforcement will come. That's when you'll probably see dragging people from their homes. By then, I'm hoping Yahweh has put us on our arks, our ark communities. I'm praying for it, where we will have our men-at-arms in the community. We will be at arm all the time, like we are supposed to be, mentally, spiritually, and physically at arms. The men will be on the walls. They'll be in the watchtowers. You do not come upon our land with your beast system. And some people say, well, Dan, they're just going to come in there with their tanks and their flamethrowers, and they're just going to mow you down. Well, O ye of little faith, I guess that's always possible, but what makes you think they're not going to do that where you're at right now? What makes you think they're not going to do that? Look at what they're doing in Australia and places like that. Okay? Is your acquiescence and failure to unite with like-minded people saved you? They're dragging people out of their homes now. Or as the founding fathers said, we may hang together. We may. But we will most surely hang separately. Do you see what the founding fathers meant? You sitting in your home bitching and moaning about getting out there and joining forces with like-minded people is exactly what the enemy wants. Because it's easy to take you out one home at a time. It's easy for the beast. When you come together in groups, they have to be careful. Because they also know what Scripture says. They also know history. I love the story of the third captain. And I believe it was... I'm trying to think of the prophet. Oh, my gosh, it's escaping me. Anyway, if you do a search for the third captain, it's in Scripture, and it's a beautiful story. But he was prophesying against the beastly governmental system, and the king sent 50 soldiers and a captain to bring him in for questioning. And the prophet called down fire from heaven and consumed all of them, burnt them to a crisp. That could have been symbolic. It could have been literal. We don't know. All we know is that the 50 men and the captain were dead on the ground. So word got back to the king, and the king sent a second captain with a second force of 50 soldiers. And the prophet once again said, Father Yahweh, rain fire upon these heathen. And sure enough, they got consumed. Elijah, thanks, Ralph. Elijah the prophet, exactly. In fact, Elijah's name, Eliyah, is Yahweh is supreme, El being magistrate, king, leader, ruler. So Elijah destroyed 100 soldiers and two captains, and here comes the third captain, and he is not really happy. He's already seen what happened to the previous two captains. This is what happens when they have to pay a price. So he humbled himself when he approached Elijah, and he basically said, Elijah, look, you've destroyed 102 of the king's soldiers. And I don't want to be the next one in line. Would you please allow me to escort you to the king's chambers or his court and answer his questions? I'm asking you, please, would you do that? I'm not demanding, I'm asking. You see the difference, folks? It's much like the woman in the book of Matthew when she changed the story. Instead of demanding, she asked for a blessing. Even though she was a dog, she asked for a blessing. He said because of her proper attitude. Yeah, she was a dog. She didn't deserve to have a healing. But because of her submission and her humility. And so this third captain, Elijah, said, okay, I'll come along. You see, the first two could have got the same response, but they came full of piss and vinegar is what my grandparents would have called it. They were full of themselves. They were arrogant, narcissistic, coming in the name of a pagan king, a false antichrist. And they were consumed. But the third captain wised up. Government officials, much like the governor of Florida, I think saw the handwriting on the wall. People in Florida are at the point of rebellion. Besides that, a lot of places in Florida had already ceased to obey the orders. I know, I travel all over the southern part of Florida from time to time, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of places, people were just ignoring all of it, even up into Georgia and South Carolina. They were just ignoring it. Now, where it's not ignored is in the corporate-owned businesses. You see why the communists want everything centralized? Because they got obedience from them because they threatened them with their paychecks. So even though the employees know that the diaper on the face is useless and an annoyance, and actually it's not even healthy, they submitted because they want the money. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why they're trying right now with this fake pandemic to wipe out the middle class. It's a communist move. Wipe out the middle class. It comes right out of Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto. Wipe out the middle class. And then you impoverish the people so that when the bankers come in and offer you electronic shekels, you'll do whatever they ask. It's that simple. It's that plain. It's in front of your face. What are you going to do about it? But I like what Elijah did. He said, okay. And the third captain escorted him to the king. The king questioned him, and then Elijah left. Our founding fathers, like I said, succinctly put it, when the government fears the people, and what is it they fear the people? Protesting? Elections? No, they don't fear those things. They've already got that taken care of. It's rigged. They don't care about that. What they fear is angry men with arms getting ready to drag them out of their homes and executing them for their treason. That's what they fear. Nothing else, nothing short of that. They fear when you're going to stop believing your trusted voices and the images controlled by the beast on your electronic toilet, and you start thinking for yourself and you start talking to others. Why do you think they want social distancing and no crowds? Because that's a communist way to eliminate protest and armed rebellion. Because if you can't congregate, how do you discuss? If you can't congregate, how do you get your militia together? You see what I'm saying? That's the way the communists always operate. This is a communist insurrection that we're witnessing. Everybody going along with this is a communist. And that goes all the way to the White House. Everybody going along with this whole COVID bullshit, vaccine bullshit, is a communist. Is your enemy. Make no mistake. And again, you can go to the CDC website or you can contact me. I'll send you a copy of their playbook, Warp Speed, which is good old President Trump talks about warp speed all the time, doesn't he? And it's their playbook, and you can read it in their own writings. Nancy Morgan Hart, her video, Demons Amongst Us, I would highly recommend it. We need to understand that Republicans and Democrats are two wings on the exact same bird, okay? If you're still believing that either party makes a difference or an election makes a difference, I'm sorry. I have to put you in that low IQ group that's probably not going to make it. It should be as plain as day that no matter who you elect, things keep right on rolling. Because that's part of the stage production, okay? That whole staged production in Washington and on the flat screens, it's all a play for you to consume and to propagandize you. The good book says that when the righteous reign, the people rejoice, and when the wicked rule, they mourn. Okay, so you see all this moaning and mourning going on around you. Do you think it might be because the wicked are ruling? So what's the corollary? What's the answer? How about supporting the righteous men that walk this earth? Because up till now, you haven't done it. You know that, right? You keep supporting the same old lying politicians, the same members of the kakistocracy. And you wonder why nothing changes. What's a form of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over, but expecting a different result. That's a form of insanity. And the white race is insane. For the most part. Completely and utterly insane. I just realized I forgot to open up my one mail account here to see feedback, so I apologize for that. Give me just a second. Oh, Lordy. So, again, we don't support the righteous men that are willing to take a stand, willing to fight, willing to rule according to Yahweh's law. Instead, we argue and we fight, bicker, piss and moan. Oh, Dan, you can't be talking about monarchy, Dan, because it's just not right. You know, we got to still follow these antichrist lying pieces of shit in government. We got to follow them, Dan, because monarchy just ain't going to work. I love hearing that. Let's see, it worked for thousands of years for the Israelites. It's in the Bible. Christ himself is a monarch. Every educational book I've ever read about different forms of government has said that a beneficial monarchy is the best and most efficient form of government. Every academic I've ever read said the same thing. A beneficial. Notice I said, a beneficial monarchy, not a dictatorship, not a monarchy run by a despot, a beneficial monarchy. You cannot get a better form of government. You cannot destroy a beneficial monarchy. Why do you think the Jews in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion stated emphatically that the destruction of the Christian monarchies of Europe was one of their first objectives? Why? Why do you think that is? You simpletons out there that keep handing me this bullshit that monarchies won't work, Dan. Really? Well, I hope you enjoy your enslavement, because that's what you're in. It's getting worse every day because you won't think outside the box. You won't get off your ass and support the righteous men that Yahweh have put upon this earth. You won't do it. You'll stick with the old lying monarchies like in England, where there's that misfit family has no right to sit in power over there whatsoever. They're antichrists, every one of them. Half-breed antichrists. And yet the English people, the people of Great Britain, sit there and act like they're legitimate. Are you stupid or just cowards? Which is it? Voting is insanity, Angel says. Yeah, at this point in time, you know, with this election or C-election that's coming up, I hope you understand that it's not going to make any difference. Okay? No matter what the outcome on November 3rd, it's not going to make any difference, all right? I wish somebody would mark my words on this, okay? I want you to understand something. And I want you to understand that the words I'm giving you are not just my own. I'm looking at a note here. You can vote if you wish, but please understand it's not going to make a difference. I got a text from one of the ladies in the community. She sent it out to, I don't know, 13, 14 people in the community begging us to register to vote and vote for Biden because he's the lesser asshole of the two assholes and it will prevent a civil war. Because she's convinced if Trump's elected, the communists are going to burn the country down. She doesn't understand if Biden's elected, it's still going to burn down. Because now the right is going to rise up and be at war. Eventually, they'll grow their balls back and it'll be at war. So once they figure out Trump is not on our side, nobody in Washington's on our side, nobody in a uniform's on our side, and you might as well forget it. Okay? Because there's no evidence of it. People say that they're there, but like I've asked for a long time now, show me the evidence. Show me the evidence. Now, are there good people in uniform? Sure they are. Sheriff Mack, he's retired now, but he knows constitutional sheriffs and police officers. They're a handful compared to the majority of them. But are there? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where you have to have discernment, folks. You can't just willy-nilly go out and say somebody in a uniform is bad. Judge them by their fruits. That's why I say every one of these uniformed communists should be drugged in front of a citizen's grand jury by the sheriff and the militia. The local pastor, a real pastor, should preside over the trial. Because a judge, after all, is just simply a referee. And who better to referee for a fair trial than a true pastor of Yahweh? So the sheriff and the militia, it's simple. Go drag these sons of bitches in front of a citizen's grand jury made up of righteous white men. And why do I say that? Because that's what the founding fathers intended. When this country was going up, 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 in morality and success, that's who ran the show. That's who the founding fathers left to be in charge, and that's what the scriptures in Leviticus and Deuteronomy demand. Racial unity, homogeny amongst your people. It's the only way it works, folks. You can say whatever you want. It's the only way it works. And you want to get these enemies of our race and our faith destroyed, then it has to be at the local level. Pastors, sheriffs, and militia. You go above that, you can't trust them. Local people that you know and have known for a long time, people that you can now see, are they pushing this agenda, this dirty diaper wearing false narrative? Right there, Yahweh gave you the perfect way to know who's who. Okay, who's got balls, who doesn't? Who has brains, who doesn't? Who has faith, who doesn't? Who is willing to fight, who isn't? And you gather the Gideon men around you, and you start arresting these people. And then some folks say, Dan, that'll never happen. Really? What do you think you've been living since March? Do you think a year or two ago, if somebody told you what we've been living through since March would have happened, what would they have said? They would have laughed their ass off at you, wouldn't they? Yeah. And yet, here we are, getting ready to go into October. What happens in October? Oh, that's right. Bolshevik Revolution. Red October. What did Barack Obama say? It's time for a red wedding. Treason at the highest levels. Suckering you in with the false promise that there's people going to do good things for you. Sucker you in only to be betrayed and murdered. That's what the red wedding that Barack Obama was referring to, right out of the Game of Thrones. Go watch that episode of the Red Wedding. That's what you're government leaders have planned for you on both sides of the aisle. Don't listen to what these talking heads are telling you over this image, this electronic toilet controlled by the beast. One way you know for sure you're being lied to is how many of these talking heads refer to our Father in heaven. I'm talking about the real creator, not God. Because Lucifer is a god to the satanic side. Government is a god to the misfits and the entitlement crowd. These fake churches are representing God to the lukewarm church. So when somebody says they respect or honor or pray to God, that means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. How many people out there that you know actually know the God of the Bible? Come on, be honest. How many people in your circles actually know him? Actually know what he stands for? Actually know his law? Actually live their faith? Be honest, how many? Probably not a hell of a lot. Probably not a hell of a lot. All right, now I got a few minutes to go here. If anybody has anything they want to report, please call in. I don't have much more to talk to you about this morning. It's just utter chaos out there, and mostly because people have lost common sense. They can't see what's right in front of their face. They have no discernment. The Bible says that it is a fool that says there is no God. The beginning of wisdom is the acceptance and acknowledgement of what? Yahweh God. And yet these fools think there is no God. Okay, we got a caller. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dan, thank you so much, and I totally agree with you about all this. Indeed, we just did a trip in the past couple of days all around the greater Orlando area, plus that was about three different counties, and we're looking in the mostly corporate places. And while it was true that most people were wearing masks, there were refreshingly some here and there that were not. They were just ignoring it, and they didn't seem to be molested by anybody. We were asked a few times why we weren't wearing them, and we kind of just were able to throw those people out or blow those people away, if you will, pretty readily. So I think that the DeSantis order did have some, it probably had some immediate effect. And I think that, but of course we weren't in the more dangerous areas, if you will, of Florida where, masks are law, Manatee and Miami-Dade. And we didn't get up to Marion County where masks are illegal. It'll be really interesting to see what people do there. But I just wanted to report that it actually was not hard to walk in and out of these big corporate places. But, it is still sad that, at least, 98% of the people are still wearing their diapers.
Yeah, which either shows a high level of ignorance or a high level of ballessness, one or the other.
Ballessness is actually one of my favorite words because it contains three consecutive L's. It's perfect word for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny because my daughter-in-law sent me a text yesterday that said that there was a situation. They went to a store and they had their face coverings with them because they needed to get supplies for the children. So they were going to go ahead and just go on in, but they went in there and a man had passed out. I guess near the cash registers, a man wearing a mask passed out, and they said it was a police officer that walked over and said, "These things don't work." And he ripped the mask off, I believe the man, and he took his off, and there were five other people, plus my daughter-in-law and her husband, my son. They all looked at each other, took their masks off at that point, and nobody wore them from that point on. But it was the police officer who said, "This is bullshit, these things don't work," and ripped it off and took it off the person that had passed out and was assisting them, and the other people standing around did the exact same thing. So there is a grain of intolerance by people starting to be reached. Whether it'll never probably affect the majority, but all we need is the Gideon numbers. All we need is the 1 to 3 out of 100. We don't need large numbers. Yeah. We just need commitment.
Absolutely.
And this police officer was able to revive this person, and he set 7 people free because when they saw his bravery and the fact that he said, "This is bullshit, it doesn't work." My daughter's a nurse, has said the same thing from the third day of this whole thing, way back in March, has said openly that this is a lie. This is not factual. What they're talking about, what they're presenting is a lie.
Yeah, many, many lies, too, many layers of lies. And that's partly why it's difficult to clear it all out, because they layered and layered and layered so many lies that you have to kind of dig down through this one and through that one. It's difficult for people, because then they have to believe that they were lied to in many ways to clear it out. So, I mean, I find that the one word that clears up everything best is the term cure. The cures, or the many cures, were available, and this is why I was distributing a document entitled Cure with multiple exclamation points from February on. Because once everyone understands it's curable, then there was never any need for any of this. It was known to be curable by several means, and I give many other means as well. So once you know that, in other words, and it's interesting too that that Trump was kind of pointing at HCQ, which I don't even mention on my page, but yeah, it is a cure, right? One of many. But it's interesting that he was mentioning that way back in March and got absolutely trounced by Big Pharma for mentioning it. Because as long as you have what he's now calling therapeutics, right, there's no need for a vaccine. And, of course, that's the whole push, because the push is for not just what is normally called a vaccine, which is not really what it's meant to be anyway, but, a tattoo with a dye and chipping mechanisms, you know, three needles, so that was the intent, right? And it's fascinating that in the trials, I can't believe that anybody signed up for the trials, but they did, you know, and the one woman who had terrible neuro disfigurement, apparently, internally, you know, came out crying, you know, it took me away from God. I can't feel God anymore. It's blocked God. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Which is their intention, because there's a video out of a DARPA sponsored event where Pentagon officials are sitting in the auditorium listening to this jackass talk about the fact, and this was years ago, like 5 years, 6 years ago, talking about that they have found what they called the God gene, and that they were developing vaccines and other injectable materials that could basically disconnect or cause to have no efficacy this particular gene within people. Now, they were surrounding it with the idea, look, we could take and forcefully inject Middle Easterners so there would never be another jihadi. Well, there's one problem with that. All of these terrorist groups are government-funded, every one of them, and
sure.
It includes the Middle East.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you want to get rid of them, go find the bastards in the government, especially intelligence agencies in the military, that are funding them. We don't need a vaccine, but that's the cover. So they have developed, supposedly, a way to turn off this connection to the Father, because that's the people that give them the most trouble, people that have an allegiance to a spiritual father. Okay, they mask it as jihadist, but what they're actually talking about is Christians. They're actually talking about people connected to the real God of heaven and earth, and they want a way to circumvent that and turn us into compliant sheep. And these assholes in uniform from our own government, from the Pentagon, are sitting there applauding it and just relishing the idea that we can take bodies of people and inject them with something and turn off their God gene. Which tells me that the people in the audience don't know the living God at all.
Yes.
So this is who runs our government and our militaries.
Yes, and what some have called the deep state. And it's absolutely horrific, and it's connected with other so-called deep states then around the world. I mean, military intel is all connected. Once the U.S. owns something, then Israel owns that piece of information, and so does China, Russia, and everybody else. Five Eyes, you know, 10 Eyes, 12 Eyes, rather, they all know it instantly. And I want to say, too, that in terms of blocking our spirituality, all digital energies likewise do that. Digital energies, and that could be anything from using a cell phone or any kind of wireless implement to even electricity itself. Alternating current is a digital energy. So I would just encourage everybody to think about why maybe long ago certain Amish people had that spiritual inspiration to not go with electricity. Because they are our forebears too, and just maybe they were right about that.
Well, the thing of it is, it's also a trap. Everything that is called a modern convenience comes with strings attached to it. You have to be plugged in. You have to follow the rules of the corporatocracy in order to get your little gift. Okay, look yeah. at what they've done to be hooked up to the power grid and how that's changed in the last 60, 70 years. Yeah,
and
you can have it.
Even in the last 10 years with meters, with the so-called smart meters, which are what? They give off a pulse every either 14 seconds, 30 seconds, or whatever it is, 24/7, right? And that high spike or pulse, which in some cases does exceed FCC guideline, interrupts brain function at that moment. Like, huh? You know, so it can wake some people up out of a deep sleep.
Right. Or cause improper sleep, disrupted sleep, which causes sleep deprivation syndrome, which a lot of people show signs of that today. They're acting crazy, easily agitated and crazy. So, yeah, the thing of it is, when everything gets restored, all the things that the Beast system offers will be available to people, only it'll be in safe forms. Okay, there's safe ways to travel using magnetism, totally passive, mm-hmm. just like a sailboat. Sailboat doesn't interfere with the world system. It puts up a sail and
right.
captures something that already exists. And the same thing with the magnetic lines of flux that are all over the earth. There's ways to harness that energy and propel cars and devices. We already know that. I already met people that have developed
yes.
automobiles that run completely off of the magnetic lines of force, okay? Completely passive,
yes.
no fuel, no pollution, no noise. They've already invented it, and that was 20 years ago. So the problem is that the wicked rule, and the wicked, because they own the rights to gas and nuclear power and coal, they don't want that. Okay, they want mankind enslaved and bowing to their demands to have it. Whereas even Nikola Tesla, his idea was to provide electrical energy that was safe and free. So Nikola Tesla openly talked about this. Unfortunately, J.P. Morgan, a Jew who was financing him, found out and pulled his financing. Because he said, where am I going to put the meter to charge people? And Nikola Tesla said, what meter? You don't need a meter. It's free. We're going to give devices that pull it right out of the atmosphere. Okay? So we have proof that this cabal doesn't give a damn about safety of the earth or us. It's all about control and maintaining control, which means more money. Again, the worship of money, right?
So. Yeah, and destroying living beings, which have what they might call that God gene. You know, I think it's more than a gene, right? It's the
right.
spirit, and specifically the things that they do go after that. They kill that. They torture in order also to drive out God. In other words, they want us to. They would like us to disown our God. To turn away from God, to reject God based on the suffering that we experience. It's another way that they keep killing Jesus. They really just want to keep killing Jesus because they realize they haven't killed him yet. He can't be killed. and our spirits can't be killed.
Well,
it's one of the reasons that for example, if you look at the many different kinds of camps in World War II, there was a specific camp for people who were true believing Christians. I actually have all the documents documenting all of the different camps, many of them actually, dozens. And, of course, Auschwitz was more like a spa type of camp or work camp. It was not a death camp at all. We know that. But there was a different one. I don't recall the name, where, you know, there was really horrific torture of Christians. And that was when that was where all of the terrible experimentation happened. You know, it almost as if, you know, that deep state wanted to figure out how do you drive God out of these people. So
right.
Just beware, because our faith is a temptation to them.
Right. Well, you think about what you just said about they want to kill Christ. Remember that these same Jews ordered the massacre of the male children in Bethlehem, trying to stop his first coming. Okay, hundreds of males between the ages of 0 and 3 were put to the sword in ancient Bethlehem because the Jews wanted to try to stop Messiah from coming into this world. It's no different than today. These demented pieces of crap think that by injecting us and changing our human form to make us a GMO product, which is exactly what this vaccine will do, you will now literally and in their eyes legitimately be able to be patented and owned by the corporations, but it will also take away your humanity. And their idea is, if there are no humans left, then the second coming will not happen. And people say, you know, that sounds awful simplistic. Well, they murdered all those children in Bethlehem thinking they could stop them the first time. It didn't work, and this one won't work either. But that doesn't mean they won't try. They will literally dehumanize multiple billions of people in an effort to make sure that there's no reason for him to come back, that they will have total dominion on this earth, and there will be no, quote, sons of God left on the earth. That's the goal.
I believe that, yeah.
Absolutely. It's becoming plainer and easier to see almost on a daily basis, isn't it?
It sure is, yeah. We're living in very strange end times.
Yeah, absolutely. Which means for the good guys, our redemption's getting closer and closer. The nuttier things get, the more chaotic, the more wicked, the redemption that was promised is that much closer. In a lot of ways, the redemption is already here. It's just our people don't see it. Again, he said, righteous rulers. We turn away from righteous monarchy. We turn away from the things that he gave us to prevent what's happening right now. We have prophets walking amongst us. We have righteous men who would make excellent biblical monarchs, and our people shun it. They don't get it. They don't see the vision. Proverbs talks about, my people suffer from a lack of vision. Not just from a lack of truth, a lack of vision. They can't get the vision for whatever reason. Propaganda, not clear thinking, their bodies are too polluted, they're too narcissistic, they think they know more than God himself, whatever the reason. I hear it all the time. It'll never work. You'll get a dictator, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, what do you think you're living in now? What do you call this? It's a oligarchy, okay? So instead of a dictatorship, you've got an oligarchy. But guess what? They both operate exactly the same way. The only thing that defeats a dictator or an oligarch is a powerful monarch and his army. That's it. It's always been that way. And so the enemy has propagandized our people to where as soon as they hear a biblical monarchy mentioned, they turn and shun, just like the word Adolf Hitler. Nobody looks into the truth about Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists because they have propagandized them to the point where they have an automatic response. As soon as they hear those words, they shut down because of that response. That shows brainwashing. It's the same brainwashing that's turned our people away from the one form of leadership that would solve the problem here and now. We keep looking for Yahweh to solve it for us. He gave us all the tools to solve it ourselves, and we refuse. We refuse. Because, well, I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up, but if somebody can show me a better way, then show it to me. But see, that all I get is the naysayers. Oh, it can't be. I said, well, then show me one that's better. Show me one that's better. You're telling me the parliamentary system's working over in England? And I think they got it over in Australia, in New Zealand, a form of it. You tell me that's worked? They got Jews. All three of them have Jews in charge. All right, so that's working for you? And all their parliaments and their local delegates and everything else are all kikes. Okay, is that working for you? Here in the United States, we got a Congress. We've got a legislative, executive, and judicial. All of them run by kikes. Is that working for you? Mm-hmm. And yet, when I ask, what's your solution? Okay, I'm saying a monarch like a King David stands up and the army forms behind him and you go in and kick some ass. You go take out the enemy. You do exactly what the scripture says. You go in and find the enemy, the Antichrist, and you execute them. That seems pretty simple. It seems pretty doable to me. And yet people want to argue about it. You can't do that. Why can't you do that? Why? Because your enemy says you can't do that? The people who are raping your children and killing them and selling them off into slavery, ripping organs out of people's bodies, drinking the blood for adrenochrome, you're telling me those people don't want you to do it? Well, of course they don't want you to do it because they'd be dead. Okay? Our POTUS promised us that certain deep swamp people would be in prison by now. 4 years later, they're not, and yet these same people think this guy's a savior. Really? Oh, well, he's waiting for a second term. Why? Why would you let 4 years of mayhem continue and even get worse and wait for your re-election? Or I should say your second C-election? Okay? What? Why? Somebody explain that to me. Why would you allow this bullshit to continue for 4 years and even get worse? But all of a sudden you're going to be this savior on a white horse in the second term? That's why this election makes no difference whatsoever. You've got communists on both sides of the aisle. This is a communist takeover, and the American people are still blind to it. They just don't see it. The communists are here. Some of them have Republican badges. Some of them have Democrat badges, but they're all communists. They say, well, we're fighting it. Then why do you let communism reign in Washington? Why do you let communism reign in the Pentagon? Why do you let communism reign in the media and in the medical mafia? It's all run by communists. But your savior is going to change all that. He just put another communist in the Supreme Court, or he's trying to. And people say, well, no, that's a conservative. Really? Like I said, Fidel Castro paraded around as a conservative too. Sandra Day O'Connor tried to tell everybody she's a conservative. Go look at her decisions. Go look at Kavanaugh and some of the things he supported and some of the others that were, quote, conservative. They're all communists. Some are more obvious communists than others, but they're all communists. Unbelievable. Anything else, Susan?
Thank you, Dan. Absolutely. Totally agree. So I'm going to get back here. I mean, I'm going to come off of, or I'm going to mute myself. That's the word.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you so much for your show.
All righty. Take care. Yahweh bless. Say hello to Tim for me.
Yahweh bless. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I've bent your ear for 2 hours now. It's hard to believe. This time goes by so fast. So I don't know how to say it any plainer. I really don't, you know. And this is not this is a thankless job. I got to tell you, it's a thankless job, and I've been doing it for a very long time because I'm an outcast. It's not fun being an outcast. It really isn't. To where you've been given information, visions, premonitions. And everybody hates them, okay? Whether you're talking about the patriarchal family, you're talking about the communities, you're talking about government and monarchies, it doesn't matter. Everybody hates hearing what the Father has laid out. Now, some people like portions of it, like the racial connotation, the prohibition against race mixing, aliens invading our land. They get all that. But when it comes down to like marriage, children, families, dietary laws, all of a sudden it changes. Well, we become the cafeteria believers. Well, I like this dish here and I like that dessert here, but I don't want that entree over there. No, I don't want that, Dan. Really? Well, that's why I say this has been a thankless job. Praise Yahweh for the handful, and I do mean handful, of people that get it. The people that support everything that the Father has laid out before us. And it is literally a handful compared to the majority, even in identity. I can't tell you the arguments I have had over the years with people claiming to be identity believers. Sometimes they're the worst to deal with. I can go down to the bar and strike up a conversation with a total stranger and get more understanding than I can with some of our people who are of the right race and supposedly the right faith, and yet they don't get it. Not sure what the hell's going on there, but they just don't get it. Keep staying strong, Father. Ralph in Canada says everyone here is an outlier. Yeah, that's the one good thing is the majority of the audience over the 21 years of this program, most of them would fall into the category of the people that do get it. There's been a few come in and out that they got part of it, but they didn't get it all. And they're like the seed on rocky soil. For a time, they seemed like they were going to come to fruition, but they ended up withering and dying on the vine, and nothing ever became of their life, and nothing came of their ministries. So chaos is going to continue because that's what the beast wants. He wants total compliance. He wants you to become a genetically modified organism, therefore you have no natural rights, you have no claim to humanity any longer, you are a literal product of a corporation, and therefore you will have nothing, no grounds to resist whatever dictates they come with. Much like the power company has taken that stance. Used to be, they were very customer-oriented. Now, it's like they're another bureaucratic dictatorship. You will do as we say, or we will pull the plug. You see how that works? So it's just another form of that. You want the toys? You want what Babylon offers? Then you will comply. Sheep, cattle, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. The whole world is in travail. When, Father Yahweh, will the sons be manifested? All righty. Thanks for tuning in, folks. If everything goes well, we'll be back with you on Wednesday. If there's an emergency or something that's vitally important, of course, we'll have a special broadcast at any time. I've reached out to several people recently to be guests that I think will be very enlightening for everybody. We'll see if they're able to come on. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the shelter that you provide and for the food and for the knowledge of who you are and knowledge of who we are. Also the knowledge of where this is all going for those who are overcomers. The sad fact is they will be small in number. We just pray that you would put an end to all this, Father. We know this is a stench in your nostrils. We've made a complete mess of this world. We still sit on our asses and don't shirk what's going on and to come back together as a people. There is our unity. There is our solidarity. There is our strength. And we just run away from it. And I don't see us overcoming that anytime soon, Father. And that's why I pray that you would come back yourself. Take that throne. End this whole madness of man ruling over man. We are completely unqualified and incapable of justly ruling over each other. Just completely incapable of it. So we ask that you would come back, take that throne, and then that would just end all of the fighting and bickering, and we can restore this world. Again, thank you for being with us. Watch over us, forgive us our sins, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name, we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.